It is time for Over There with Marella Rostroffer. Marella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She's not over there, she's over here, but that doesn't preclude events from over there. Hello, Marella. Is any of that true, and how are you?
Hello, Jill. Yes, everything is absolutely true. Another little week over here, and then I will be there for you. So today I thought we can go back on one of our favorite topic, which is, of course, the Brexit. Why is that coming back in our conversations? It's because it is somehow moving ahead. Not very fast, at least not as fast as everybody would like to in Europe, but there is some progress. So this week, all the leaders met, the European Union leaders, as well as Theresa May from the United Kingdom. The day before the meeting, somehow journalists were conveying the idea that maybe we were getting very close to finding a compromise good for both parties, but this was unfortunately slightly too optimistic, as while some progress was done, it was still not possible to put aside a few issues that have to be dealt before any real Brexit talk can begin. So this is, that could definitely be compared to a divorce, where people have, the two parties have to talk about the money, of course, about how to deal with each other, and thirdly, how to deal with the children, if there is any. In this case, that would be Ireland, that is creating a little bit of a headache for these Brexit talks. So I think it's important to talk about Ireland more than the money, because the money is just a question of amount, how much. For the European Union, of course, the more the better. And for England, how to minimize that amount is a key word. But concerning Ireland, it's quite complicated because, as you know, there has been the 1998 Good Friday Agreement between North Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. This agreement was extremely important because while it was allowing a real partnership in terms, for example, of trade, it was also some kind of guarantee for a peaceful Ireland relationship. Now, if Ireland stay in the EU, which obviously it does because it is part of the European Union, what happens with the border between North Ireland and the Republic of Ireland? Technically, that border would have to disappear whenever the United Kingdom leave the European Union. So that would be extremely problematic because one has to think that right now there is no physical border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. There is no checkpoint. The two parts are completely interconnected in their dealings, in their tradings, in many ways. And goods are and services are take place without any checks of any sort. So this is basically how the European Union functions. If one takes that away, if one puts a border now between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, that would also hinder the free movement of people, besides the free movement of goods. That would be, of course, extremely problematic because, as you can imagine, a lot of people cross that invisible border every day to go and work to one part or the other. So it's definitely Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, even though they are two separate entities, they definitely are so interconnected that it would be unthinkable to put now a physical border between the two. It would be a problem economically, but it would definitely be also a political issue. Now, if England is leaving the single market and the European Union, there is no way that this can be ignored. As you can imagine, also other parts like Scotland are observing that very, very keenly because they themselves didn't want to leave the European Union to begin with. And for them, if the UK makes an exception with Northern Ireland being able to continue trading and to continue everything freely with Ireland being part of the European Union, then obviously they would stand there and say, well, if you do an exception for Northern Ireland, why can't we have an exception as well? That would be a very logical thinking, I would say. So Ireland wants, before the Brexit talks can go ahead, a written guarantee from the UK that their situation with Northern Ireland will continue under the European Union rules even after the Brexit. And this is where the problem lies, because the United Kingdom cannot make such a promise. It would go against the idea of the Brexit itself, and it would be also a problem in legally, because you cannot be half in, half out. So there is a real solution to find there. I read that some experts give Hong Kong as an example of how to basically to gain a special status that would give some special rights to Northern Ireland. So this is definitely a big issue for the Brexit talks. The other one is still a little bit open, is the right of the European Union citizens in the UK. So Theresa May, the Prime Minister, has done already a lot of compromises on that level, giving some special rights, definitely some special rights to European Union citizens that are already in the United Kingdoms, that are already working there, that are already basically living there. But in the eye of the European Union, it is still not sufficient. And they would like to obtain more guarantees that those European Union citizens are going to be fully protected and are not going to be at a huge disadvantage when England leaves the European Union. And as I said before, the other topic is the money, but I have the feeling that at this point, this is the topic where a certain agreement is being somehow slowly reached. So that would be for England and the Brexit at this point. And now, very shortly, I also wanted to mention the fact that concerning Catalonia in Spain, there have been some progress as well. Puigdemont, the self, I would not say self-entitled, but the man who consider himself as the leader of Catalonia has had a good news this week, as the arrest warrants against him has been dropped. Therefore, Belgium doesn't have to give him back to Spain anymore. That being said, it doesn't take away from the fact that if he goes back to Spain, he could be theoretically arrested, as some other ministers have been in Spain in the few last months. In December, there will be a new election, and the polls are very difficult to analyze, as certain days the pro-independence parties have a little advantage and other days they don't. As those parties have been unable to unite in order to get a better result at the election, it is likely that they might be a little bit short of voices, which would then leave Catalonia in the frame of the Spanish government. But this is all still very difficult to predict, and I guess we will know more in a few days.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostrofer. Over there.
My pleasure.